3, if you got your Bible. Good to see you in the house of God. I'm glad the Lord let us be together this good day. This is what we feel like God have us preach this morning. And we just got orders from God about this just not long ago. But we feel like this is the dealings of God, the workings of God in our heart to preach on this, what I preach this morning. The Bible said, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, if God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." I want to say this morning that the devil, or the serpent, says here that he's more subtle than any beast of the field. I want to try, God to help me just a little bit this morning, preach on the lies of the subtle one. The lies of the subtle one. He's an opposer of truth. He's an opposer of God. He hates Christ and he hates Christ's church. He'll do anything he can to keep people from getting saved. He does not know the truth. He does not live in the truth. He hates the truth. The Bible said he's a liar and the father of all lies. And there's lies that the devil tells people that assembles in the house of God. There's lies that the devil tells people that's outside the house of God that I believe that keeps people in their own mind from getting saved. You say, "Preacher, do you believe the devil comes to church?" Yes, I do. I believe he's in his spirit, or may I say, he in his subtle way comes into a sanctuary where the Word of God's preached. In the book of Mark, chapter 4, Matthew, chapter 13, there's the parable of the sower and the seed. And the Bible said that the first seed was sown, and the fowls of the air came and take that seed out of the heart, that individual, lest they be saved. And they said right there in the scripture that that fowl was the devil that come catcheth the word away, lest that word of God finds regeneration work in an individual's heart, and that one is not saved. And you know, the thing of it is, he'll tell people a lot of things. I want to say I'm glad I know the truth this morning. I'm glad the Holy Ghost wrought truth in my heart. And there were things that were implanted in my own mind before I got saved that the devil tries to tell people and lies to them in their own mind about being saved. But I want to tell you, dear neighbor, this morning that he's lying to you. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. I tell you, the most important thing for any individual is to know without any doubt that they've been saved. You know, this morning the devil would like you to leave here lost and not knowing the truth and not being saved. But you can be saved. If God deals with your heart, you can be saved. I want to say, first of all, he'll tell you that you're not that bad. He'll say you can't be as bad as what that preacher preaches. But the Bible says you are a sinner. You've sinned against God. You're a sinner. And you are corrupt within. My friend, the Bible said that heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That mankind's heart is depraved. When Adam sinned, here we read the record. He upheld the whole human race. And he brought the human race into sin. When he sinned against God. And this morning, a lot of people think, well, I hadn't really done that bad. Well, one sin makes you guilty of the whole law of God that God set up. And my friend, you're guilty. You're a sinner. And God, I tell you, say, well, you get us that other man there. That might be true, but you can't, my friend, measure up to the standard of God or the law of God that
that you have broken. And you know, you can sit in the pew all day. And you can say, I'm good as that person. I'm good as that woman. But that's not where it's at. You better measure up to what God says. And when the devil says you're not that bad, he's trying to boast you up in pride. You are a sinner. You are bad. In the eyes of God, you can't make it. Unless God gives you grace. That you're a sinner. You're lost. And you're undone. And you're going to hell. And you are bad, friend. Don't let nobody tell you any different. Hey, God, you got to have to be saved. You're a sinner. And your sin has condemned you. And the devil will say, you're not that bad. But you are, my friend. And you're going to have to come to admit that I'm a sinner. And I'm bad. In the eyes of a holy and righteous God this morning. Amen. You know what the devil will tell you? You're not that bad. That's what he'll tell you. You ain't that bad. Why you got to do what that preacher says? You're not that bad.
Right.
I won't tell you what. If you ever see yourself the way God sees you, you'd see you as a filthy rag. If you ever see yourself as God sees you, you'll say, I am a wretch. I am a sinner. Amen. I'll tell you, only God can show you just how sinful you are. And the law of God revealed to you what this law says. In the Word of God, that men are sinners. You know, the devil will sit there and tell you while you're hearing me preach, well, you're not that bad. You're as good as this man or this that man. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to boast you in your own pride and in your own self. You know what you got to do? You got to fall prostrate before God in confession of sin and repentance. You got to come that way. You can't come thinking you're anything. You can't come boasting in anything. You can't come, my friend, in anything of yourself. Paul said it's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And I'm telling you this morning, we've raised a generation of church members that they're self-righteous. They think they're righteous in their own eyes. They despise others. They boast in what they have and what they are instead of boasting in Calvary and Christ. And we've raised a Baptist church in these days to make them think because they're better than somebody else in their own eyes. That they're saints. I tell all the standards you got. You know what they'll do? They'll end up sending you to hell as fast as a drunk. Amen. Probably going to be worse off when you go and face God because a drunk knows what he is. But I tell a man in church, I don't know, he's got an outward show. He's a lost man. I tell that's all he has. And he'll say, you're not that bad. But I tell you as bad as the Bible says you are, that you're a sinner and you're condemned and you're going to hell, and the only hope you got is you admit yourself and God what you are. Amen. I'll tell you something else he'll tell you. He'll tell you this. He'll say, you can't live it. He said, you can't live for God. You can't live it. You know what? I can't live it and you can't live it. It'd have to be God to live it. Amen. That's right. You know what? When I got saved, God gave me a desire to live it.
Yeah.
And it had to be God to fulfill that desire by His Spirit to live it. There's no way. I told them the other day, hey God, I took my Bible and I threw it down on that table up there at the detention center. And I said, you know, God give us a Bible we can't live. You can't live it unless God lives it in you and through you. A lot of people say, well, I can't live that way. And the devil will say that to you. He'll say, you can't live it. Well, you can't quit sinning. You can't quit doing what you're doing. And the fact of it is, you can't unless God comes in you. About there, he'll tell you that. He'll say, you can't change. Look at what you'll have to give up if you get saved. Well, when I got saved, I was willing to give up anything. Amen. It didn't matter what it was. I was wanting to give it up. I said that wasn't an issue to me. Like the young ruler that Jesus said, go sell what you have and give to the poor and come follow me. He wouldn't give up them riches. It wasn't even an issue with me. I tell you, I wanted to get saved so bad that it didn't really matter what he had told me. I tell you, friend, thank God the devil will say you can't live it. But I tell you what, you can live it if you get delivered on the inside. Amen. That's right. That's what Paul said. It was the grace in me. Amen. You say, how's that man like that? What makes a man love the Bible? What makes a man love the church? What makes a man love the brethren? It's the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. I'm not here acting this morning. I didn't put on my acting suit before I come and decide to come in church and act like a preacher and carry a Bible and put on a tie. And when I get back home, thank God, I take it off and throw it to the closet and say, let me put on my other suit. Thank God, friend, this is life. Amen. If you get saved, it's your life. Hey, you're going to have to come to God like that and see you don't have life. And if you come to Him and see it, who He is and who you are, you can be saved this morning. The devil will say, oh, you can't live that way. You don't really want to live that way. All them people do is go to church and read the Bible and pray. Well, I wish I could say that, amen. I tell you, that ain't all I do, brother. But I tell you, that's what I want to do. And I tell you, put a want to in my heart. I don't want to be around where God's at. I tell you this morning, He'll lie to you and say you can't live it. But you can if God gets in you. Amen. That's right. I'll tell you what else the devil will tell you. You know what? This is a big time lie. He'll tell you. He'll say you got plenty of time.
Yes.
He said, you got plenty of time. I preached this message first time back in 19, I think it was 88 or something, before I was there, pastor. I preached this message at a family reunion. Can you believe that? Amen. All them people sitting around getting ready to eat, and I ran back and preached this message. I preached on lies the devil will tell you. That's right. And I'm going to tell you this, friend. He'll tell you got plenty of time.
Oh yeah.
That's why I say you got plenty of time. That's why most of y'all leave when you leave here and you don't know you're saved. And you know what you think in your mind? Well, I'll get saved one day.
Yeah.
I'll get saved one day. That's what everybody says. That day never comes.
Yeah.
And the longer you put out, the harder it is to get saved.
Yeah.
I'm telling you this, the harder it is, the older you get. The older you get, the harder it is to get saved. There's not a whole lot of people in here, I tell you what, got saved over 50 years old.
That's right.
How many of y'all got saved after you was 50 years old? Raise your hand. Anybody in here got saved after he was 50? Ain't nobody in here. How many got saved after he was 40 years old? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about 6 people out of the crowd. We probably got 85 people in here. You got about 6. You know what I'm saying this morning? You know, a lot of people think, well, I got my life to live and I'll get saved when I get older and I got plenty of time to live. I'm telling you, you don't know how long you got. And the fact of it is, you don't have plenty of time. You only got this time. You only got this day. Hey, man, you only got today, friend. You don't have tomorrow. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. That's why he said, boast not of thyself of tomorrow. Fail thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There's people here sitting in this church this morning that knows not the grace of God in Christ, never has been saved. But you know what they'll say? I've got plenty of time. That's what they'll say. That's what the devil's lying to you about. Amen. He's going to tell you that about the will of God. You've got plenty of time to do it. You're just 19 or 20 years old. You don't have to do it right now. Just wait. See, procrastination is one of the greatest sins of the Baptist church.
Yeah.
Not only is it a sin to the sinner, it's a sin to the saved too.
Yeah.
Procrastination, putting off. That's what almost thou persuadest me to be. I'll hear you another time. Paul, he spoke unto Felix. He spoke unto him, righteous, temperance, judgment, the cup. And he said, I'll hear you again sometime. I mean, when there's a convenient season, everybody's waiting for a convenient season, a convenient time. But there's never a convenient time. Hey, friend, you got to come when God says come.
Yeah.
You don't draw your own way up. God says it's the day of salvation. You come. See, everybody's waiting on convenient time to get right with God. Understand, know that a man can't get right with God unless God comes to him and speaks to his heart. But I'm telling you what, he ought to be stepping that way. He ought to be stepping that way toward God.
Right.
You know what? God will never give you no more light than the light you have in what you walk in.
Yeah.
Right. That's right. You know when the wise men was going after Jesus, you know where they knew he was? That star was shining, son. And you know what? That star led them wise men to where the child was. And you know what they did? They stepped in the light they had to get to where the child was. And when they got there, they fell down and worshiped him. And I'm saying this morning. A lot of people say, I got plenty of time. I'm just just a young man. I'm a young lady. Thank God I feel young myself. But I've time getting old. Amen. That's right. And you know what? You better do what you can while it is day. For Jesus said, night's going to come and no man can do it.
Amen.
And there's a plenty of time. Boys, I wish I could tell y'all got plenty of time in this life. You just turned 18, you know, back in January. And I wish I could come to you, Jerry, and say, Jeremy, boy, you got plenty of time to do all you need to do. You wouldn't believe me if I told you that. You know, I don't know how long you got. I don't know how long anybody's got, but I do know this. I know you can only do best of God for the day that you have. And if you leave this house of God not doing best of God this morning in your own heart, you know what you're doing? You're telling God, I'm going to take a chance. And that's what most people's living off of. They're living off a chance. They don't know what they got to face tomorrow. They don't know what's going to be coming the next day. Amen. I mean, you could go out here today and hit a car and end up in eternity. You could have a stroke, be paralyzed. Amen. You can have an aneurysm. Never think again. Hey, friend, people don't think about that. But the fact of it is, you only have the time you have. And when you mess around and you don't act upon the Holy Ghost, I tell you what you're going to do. You're going to believe a lie of the devil. And it's going to end up damning you, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Listen to this lie the devil tells you. The devil only says you got plenty of time. He says this here. There's another way.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
You know what they'll say to you? Well, you don't have to believe the way Brother Hyde believes. It ain't got nothing to do with Brother Hyde. It's got to do with what the Bible says.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what people tell me? They say, well, brother, I mean, I don't believe everything you believe. I said, I tell you what, you better believe what that Bible says.
Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what I do. If you don't believe what I believe concerning man getting saved, let's take the Bible and look at it. Come to me after service right now and tell me the way you believe. Because I'm telling you what, if a man's going to get saved, number one thing is he's got to hear the Word of God.
Yeah.
Number two, God's got to speak to his heart and draw him.
Right.
He's got to repent. He's got to believe on Christ. And if he does that, God will save him. I'm telling you that. But I'm saying this, there ain't no other way. There's no other way under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other way to God but through Christ. There's no other way to God but through the blind. There's no other way, thank God, but by grace. There's no other way a man can get saved unless he comes through Jesus Christ. No other way.
Amen.
Right.
Now I'll say this, and I say it from my heart of love and boldness. I know a lot of people say, well, that's just what the Baptists believe. I believe that before I was a Baptist.
Right.
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm glad I am a Baptist.
Yeah.
Amen.
If I didn't, I'd go find one that was closer to the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
But if I didn't think the Baptist people, I'm not ashamed of that, but I'm just saying that just a lot of people say, well, that's what the Baptists believe. And my grandma and grandpa didn't believe that. I really don't say that's disrespectful, but grandma and grandpa don't have nothing to do with what you believe. It has to do with your personal heart and the book of God and the Holy Ghost, and it's between you and God. And if you don't believe right, you won't die right.
Amen.
Tell you that. There ain't no other way, friend. I tell you, it's no other way. People argue me all they want to, but I'm telling you, when Paul got saved, he left Gamaliel, he left the Pharisee religion, he got born again, he become a Christian, he lived for God Almighty until the day he said, I finished my course, I kept the faith. And I'm saying this morning, there's no other way a man can be saved but through the blood of Christ. There's no other way a man can be saved but through the drawing power of God. No other way. You can't come to God unless He draws you.
Right.
No man cometh to the Father but by me, Jesus said. So there's no other way. The devil will sit there and tell you, oh, you don't have to believe all that. You don't have to believe all that. That's what he'll say. Well, you're a good person. You got plenty of time. You can't live it. And you don't have to believe all that. I'm going to tell you what, you'll have to believe it to go to heaven.
Yeah.
You say, well, I have to get saved the way you did, the same way.
Yeah.
Through the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Through the Holy Ghost workings.
Yeah.
You can't get saved unless God comes to you. You won't want to get saved if God comes to you, because you've got to get desperately lost and utterly lost in your own sin and see yourself as God sees you. And when He sees you that state, you better make a movement to God or you'll die in your sin. I'm telling you that this morning. It's God in you. You know what? We got a lot of people religious today. We live more religious today than we ever have. There's more religions. You know, people. You know what somebody told me one time? You must think you're the only one right. I said, no, I'm just one of them. Find out that people finally get saved and God speaks to the heart and they come to the truth. But most people, you know, they go anywhere to church and you know what they say? Well, just as long as you go. No, it's not.
That's right.
I wouldn't give you a dime for a man who wouldn't preach the Bible.
Amen.
I'm not going to go the social gospel, watered down gospel. Amen. I'm going to give you the truth. They've got to help me. I'm going to try to look in your eyes and tell you you must be born again.
Amen.
No other way.
Amen.
You say, hey, you know all this, preacher, because that's what the devil told me.
Yeah, he sure did.
That's what he told me. I'm just preaching what he told me. He told me, he said, you're not that bad. That's the first one.
Yeah.
You're not as bad as what you, these other people. You're not that bad. And then he said, you can't live that. Then he said, you got plenty of time. You don't have to get saved right now. Then he says this, there's another way. Just cause that brother preacher there said you got to be born again. There's other ways a man can get to God.
Yeah.
Hey, but one way to get to God, and that's through Christ.
Right.
That's through the Son of God. That's through the living Son of God. Hey, man, you know what? You got life in you if you saved. You got eternal life in you now if you've been saved. And you're going to live eternally if that eternal life abides in you. Hey, man. I'll say this too. You know what the devil will tell you? He'll say, God's not going to send you to hell. He won't reject you. I'll tell you what, if your name is not found written in the book of life, he'll cast you in the lake of fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you stand before God now and you give him all your credentials and who you think you are and what you've done in this life, I'm going to tell you what God will say. He said, depart from me, I never knew you.
Right.
It wouldn't matter who you are. It wouldn't matter, friend, if old Joel Hyde stood before God and said, listen, God, I mean, look at all the times I've prophesied. Look at all the times I've tried to help people. Look at all the times I've done this and done that. And God looked at me and didn't see blood applied to my heart. Well, he'd say, away with him.
Amen.
And don't, hey, listen, God don't have no respect of persons.
Amen. Amen.
He don't respect no persons. He respects his Son and the work of Calvary.
Yeah.
It don't matter about you unless you come through him.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it don't matter what you think you've done in this life. You don't come through Calvary, you'll never get saved. You never are a child of God till you humble yourself before God and come as a brokenhearted sinner and know you've transgressed God Almighty and come repenting toward him and believe on him to the saving of your lost soul. You know what I'm preaching to you this morning? Look up here, everybody. Dear God, you act like you have dead this morning. That fish must have stuffed you up last night.
Please.
Look up here at me. Look up here. What I'm preaching to you is worth more than gold. It's worth more than what the Bank of Wachovia, farmers and merchants, or wherever you bank. It's worth more than anything I'm telling you.
Amen.
I tell you what you need. You need to sit under somebody that's a watered down, back scratching preacher sometimes, and you'll say, unto God, what's he doing here?
Yeah.
Man of God, get up and look at you out about. I'm going to tell you the truth of God and love you, and sinners in the house of God, and knowing they need to get saved, and the devil's lying to them, and telling them he wouldn't put them in hell. God wouldn't put them in hell. He said, you're not going to die. That's what he told Eve. He said, you're not going to die. You're not going to die. I'm telling you, you are going to die.
Yeah.
She hid herself. They hid themselves trying to get away from God. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're just playing religion.
Mm-hmm.
Hiding yourself amongst the trees of the garden. And I'll tell you what God said. He said, the day you eat, you'll surely die.
You're dead.
You know what she did the day she ate of that fruit? Her and Adam, you know what they did? You know what happened?
Yeah.
They died.
Yeah.
They died within.
That's right.
They died toward God.
Sure.
That's right. That's why we can't get an amen in the house of God.
That's right.
Everybody's half dead and plucked up by the roots. That's what we produce in a modern day religion.
Yeah.
That's right. We produce that. We produce out the house of God. No life now, no joy. And buddy, we just tagging along the train, you know, the merry-go-round. That's all, buy a ticket and get on and ride around a while. And then we're going to get off and we're going to go right back the way we was living. I'm telling you, it ought not be that way. It ought to be a relationship in your own heart with Christ. Knowing you've been saved. Knowing you pass from death unto life. Knowing you have Jesus in you. I'm just saying, friend, the devil lie to you and tell you I'm telling you, if you're not saved, you will. What's he been telling you? What's the devil been telling you? Well, you do good deeds. You're a good person.
Yeah.
There probably ain't 5% of people in Rowan County, if you asked them how they knew they were going to God's heaven, they could tell you. 5% at the most. Probably out of a population of probably about 140,000 people. Maybe 5% could tell you what it means to be born again. And some of you can't tell me, and that's why you hadn't never been born again. Number one thing is, a sinner can't explain it anyway. It's an act of God and the supernatural work of grace in a person's heart. How'd you get saved? By grace through faith?
Yeah.
How'd that happen? I don't know. It did, though.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know how a black cow eats green grass and gets white milk, but I'll tell you what, it happens.
Yeah.
I don't know how you cut the light switch on, electricity comes on, but it happens. I don't understand everything about God, but I know it happened, amen. I know what happened to me, and I'm going to tell you what, you look at a man that got saved and didn't know how to get saved.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to get saved. Somebody said, tell them how to get saved. I can tell them what Jesus said, but I can't. I mean, it's got to happen to them. Something's got to happen to you. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. But I'll tell you what, it took God to save me. But I'm telling you, you've got to come to the end of yourself and repent toward God and believe on Christ. If you don't do that, you'll die in your sin.
Yeah.
One day you're going to stand before God. Everybody in here is going to stand before the holy God of heaven. Everybody. I don't know how it's going to be on that day. I really don't. I do know in my standing with Christ that I'm justified and God looks at me as I've never sinned.
Right.
Do you know what justified means? It means guilty but innocent.
Amen.
That's what it means. That God can look at somebody like you and me and say, innocent.
That's right.
Yes. Innocent.
Yes.
Innocent. Glory to God.
Right.
Innocent.
Oh,
hey.
Great,
oh God.
Amen.
Think about, we're innocent.
Amen.
He justified us. He said, you're saved and innocent and justified in the sight of God. And it's not who hath condemned thee? No man, Lord.
Right.
Who's condemning me to hell? No man, Lord. Amen. There's nobody can't condemn me.
Right.
Thank God I've been justified.
Amen.
That's why he said to her, go and sin no more. Because that sin was what brought her to that place. Go out and don't sin again. Amen. Like that. I don't know what it's going to be like on Judgment Day for sure. I don't know. I do know that there's going to be a throne and there's going to be Jesus Christ on the throne.
Yeah.
And I do know that all men's going to stand before Him.
That's right.
I do know that at the judgment of the saints that we're going to give an account of what we've done, whether good or bad.
Right.
Yeah.
I do know that. I do know that how I treated you, I'm going to give an account for that.
Yeah.
I do know that how I've handled the Word of God and what I've said and how I've loved the church or not loved the church the way I should, I'm going to give account of that.
Yeah.
You go back to the day you were saved. Go back to the day you were saved. Backtrack a little bit. And just look back and see, I'm going to give an account from the day I was born again to the day right now.
Amen.
I'm going to give an account to God of myself. I'm going to give an account. And then if you're lost and you never have been saved, you're going to face God at the white throne judgment.
Yeah.
You read it in Revelation chapter 20. He said the books were open. And he said in the last verse, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, I think it's like this. I think the books is going to be open. I think God's got a book with every child of God's name in it. I believe that. And He's going to open the book of life. And every sinner is going to stand before Him. And He's going to say, I cannot find your name. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Please give me some silence here. Listen to what I'm about to say. I don't want nobody moving or no noise, okay? Listen to what I'm about to say. Why would you gamble with your soul concerning eternity? Really, have you thought about that? If you're not saved, you're actually gambling with eternity. Why would you gamble with your soul when it comes to eternity? That means if you die without God, you're going to face Him and your name's not in the book. And then you're in the lake of fire forever.
Yeah.
Not temporary. Forever. Forever. Can you get that?
Right.
Don't gamble with your soul. Don't gamble with it. Don't say, I'll take my chances or I'll wait to another day. You better do it today.
Yeah.
As I know right here in this house of God, there's people that need to get saved sitting here this morning. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to walk out them doors if you don't make a move to God.
Yeah.
And what you're going to say to God when you walk out, I'll take my chance. But I'll tell you this, you might say that to God, but there might not never be another chance. God don't have to. He's pulling on you this morning. You better listen to Him. God's a faithful God. He's a judgment. He's a God of judgment. He's justice and He's mercy. But when there's no mercy, it's all justice. I'll tell you that. Are you saved? Devil will lie to you. He'll tell you lies. He'll tell you you're going to have another chance. You better read Proverbs 29:1. Hate it being offered approved. Harden his neck. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. God will cut a man off when that man comes to that place that he's rejected God. He can cut him off. Never have another chance. Let's stand this morning.